Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Arauco's first quarter 2012 results conference call. Today, we have with us Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of Arauco. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded, and all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are completed, there will be a Q&A session. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star zero to reach the operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of the management and on information currently available to the company. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Arauco and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now, I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Gianfranco Truffello. Sir, you may begin your conference.
Okay, thanks. Thanks all for attending this first conference of the year in terms of analyzing the results of the first quarter. In page three, you can see the agenda for today, which is the same as usual. We are going to review the numbers. We're going to have a deep dive in the business segments and some outlooks for the market. Then we're going to talk a little bit about the first quarter and subsequent events. And we're going to do a few slides about the reviews of our projects and how's everything going on. As usual, we'll have a Q&A session at the end of the presentation. Page four, as a snapshot of what happened in the first quarter, our revenues were $1,010 million, 2% lower than last quarter. Our adjusted EBITDA came to be $192 million, which is a 47% lower than the fourth quarter of 2011. Net income was $52.1 million, 71% lower than the fourth quarter of 2011. Our net financial debt stood up to $3.1 billion, 8% higher than the fourth quarter of 2011. Our CapEx went down 44% to $285 million. We will discuss the details of this in the coming slides. Page number five, we can see a detail of the income statement and also a table showing the calculation of our adjusted EBITDA. In terms of the income statement, we can see the 2% decrease in revenue, basically due to lower sales of pulp division, 5%. That explained mainly by a decrease in sales volume, with pulp prices slightly increasing at 0.6%. The cost of sales was 5% lower, basically explained by a lower volume of sales in pulp and panels. In terms of other operating income, there was a decrease of 77%, and that is basically explained by the insurance claim that we received on the fourth quarter of 2011, which made the result exceptionally higher for the quarter. In terms of gross income, you can see that this quarter is 5% above the last quarter, but in terms of other operating income, we don't have the $200 million that was the effect of the recognition of the income based on the insurance claim of the earthquake. In terms of adjusted EBITDA, you can see how we calculate the EBITDA starting from net income and going to EBITDA. That's the way we do it now in our 20-F, and we're showing the calculation. Again, the explanation of the lower EBITDA is basically due to the effect of the insurance claim that made the fourth quarter much higher than usual. In page number six, talking about the cash flow, we have, again, a 21% decrease in operating cash flow again explained by the collection of the insurance claim, which was around $270 million, shown in the second line in the cash flow, that made the cash flow for operating be 21% lower than last quarter. In terms of the cash use in investment activities, we have a decrease of 38%, which is basically explained by the high CapEx in the fourth quarter due to the investment in Valle do Corisco, which was almost $240 million. And this quarter, the only thing that we have exceptionally is the $56 million that we paid for the acquisition of the Montpelier facility in North Carolina. In terms of cash use in financing activities, we paid dividends in December of $91 million. It's a provisory dividend. And also on December 6th, we raised $200 million of a three-year term loan done with Scotiabank and EDC Canada. And in January, we issued $500 million in a 144 Reg S bond, 10-year bond that we did the first days of January. That's why that also went up. And page 7, we can see a summary of our debt position. You can see there that our total financial debt went to $3.6 billion from $3.2 billion, and that is explained basically by the issuance of new debt in the beginning of the quarter. And our cash position also went up to $540 million, so the net debt went from $2.9 billion to $3.1 billion. We don't have any bond maturities until 2013, where we have around $300 million due. And you can see there that our maturities for 2012 are basically some bank loans and some small payments of interest in bonds. So we only have 150. In terms of our leverage, last 12 months, net debt to EBITDA was 2.7. You can see there in 2022 also the $500 million of a new bond that is due in 2022. Thereafter, we have $230 million, which is basically local bonds that are around 21-year maturity. In page 8, we have a table showing our key financial ratios, and we can see there that our profitability was a little bit better than last quarter, 27.7% in terms of gross margin, which is lower than the first quarter of 2011, basically because we had a much better prices scenario at that time, around 20% higher prices on average on the first quarter of 2011. In terms of operating margin, also we are better than the fourth quarter, but lower than the first quarter. Last 12 months adjusted EBITDA, 27%, which is lower than last quarter, basically because of the effects of insurance claim that came in 2011. In terms of return over capital employed, around 6% this quarter compared to 7.3. And we already talked about the leverage, net financial debt, 2.7, a little bit higher than the 2.2 that the fourth quarter, and also higher than the 1.6. The other ratios that are measured against the balance sheet are basically stable. For example, net financial debt to total capitalization at 26%. Now, if we go to the business segments on page 10, pulp division, we are seeing there the sales, which were lower, 5% compared to last quarter, and basically explained, as we talk, a decrease in volume of 9%, and an increase in price of around 0.6%. If we compare year over year, of course, sales are 10% lower, which is basically explained by a higher prices scenario last year, about 20% higher prices, and also counterbalanced by a 11% increase in volume, basically due to the fact that a year ago we were ramping up the Arauco 2 mill, which was coming out of the effects of the earthquake. So we didn't have a full quarter of production on Arauco 2. In terms of what happened in the market, the inventories were at normal levels for softwood, and slightly below average for hardwood. And prices were a little bit better than the fourth quarter. We think that the worst was in the third quarter and the beginning of the fourth quarter, and prices started to increase during the first 3 months of 2012. Page 11, we are showing there the indexes of BHKP and NBSKP, and you can see there that the spread, which was some months ago at about $180, now is about $70 between short fiber and long fiber. We all know that we have an uncertain scenario in Europe, and because of that, some integrated producers are selling some spot pulp. They are stopping their paper machines and selling some spot pulp to the market. That is creating some problems in some markets, especially for softwood, and that's why probably we have seen more increases in prices in hardwood than softwood. Anyway, Chinese demand is still growing at a very healthy rate, 23% year over year in the first 4 months of this year. And Latin American markets is very active, showing very, very good signs of growing. You can see a table over there of days of inventory levels, and on March we are at 29 days for BHKP and 34 days for BHKP. Page 12, regarding the panel division, we can see there that the sales are quite stable. We only had a 0.7% increase in sales, which is a 0.7% increase in price, and we have a 12% decrease in volume. But this is because we are not including the Moncure unit in the change of sales to make it comparable to the last quarter. Remember that we acquired this 600,000 cubic meter mill in Moncure, so we have added. We are consolidating those sales in the first quarter, and that has an impact on making the sales stable. You know, year over year, also the same analysis, we're also growing 2%, and with prices more stable, and again, the volume to make it comparable, we have a reduction. This reduction, if we take out the Moncure, is basically due to the fact that we had the plywood mill in Nueva Aldea destroyed by the fire at the beginning of the year, so we lost that volume. And also we have the effect of the particle board in Curitiba, which was closed at the end of 2011. In terms of the market, we are seeing very good demand for panels. Prices are going up, and plywood especially, prices have a positive trend in North and South America. The MDF markets are doing okay. And also, the MDF moldings have shown a recovery in North American markets. And regarding the production, you can see there that production of the first quarter went down, basically because of the effect of the fire in the oil plywood mill. Page 13, more or less the same that I spoke recently. Inventories are adequate levels, and we see a positive outlook for the panel division. We are seeing better margins, and basically because we are concentrated more on Latin America, and our products of the panel division goes basically to Brazil and the Latin American market, where the growing is still happening, and we don't have a lot of exposure to Europe or even the U.S., which is showing some small signs of recovery. Page 14, if we look at the sawn timber division, we are seeing a growth of sales on a quarter-by-quarter analysis and also on a year-by-year comparison. In terms of the quarter-by-quarter, we are seeing growing in price, 4%, and also a small increase in volume. And on a year-over-year, we have a strong increase in price, 11%, counterbalanced by almost a 5% decrease in volume. Here we are seeing good results, good margins. We have seen overall increase in prices in South America, and even though the real estate and construction sector have been remained at low levels, we are seeing some small increase and some signs of recovery. The index, the housing start, reached 717 units per year as of April 2012. In terms of the market in Asia, we have seen a small downward trend with some price cuts and volume drops in China, Korea, Taiwan, and Japan. In terms of production, we produce 600,000 cubic meters of sawn timber, which is less than the 621,000 that we produced in the fourth quarter of 2011. Page 15, the outlook for the sawn timber, we are seeing that the Asian markets are stabilizing right now from just after the first quarter. And we are seeing a positive outlook for housing starts. It's not a big growth, but we are seeing some signs of recovery over there. Latin America and Chilean markets are very good with wood sales volume and also price increases. And sales in Argentina continue to be very strong. Page 17, in terms of the first quarter first quarter events and subsequent events. We have commented this before, especially during the roadshow conference call that we did for the bond. At the beginning of January, we had a wildfire that destroyed not only about 7,000 hectares of our plantation, but also our new Aldea plywood mill. This plywood mill was, of course, insured, so we are in the process of doing the claim of the insurance. We have covered also the business interruption for 1 year of this mill and all the physical damage. We started immediately the reconstruction plan, and we expect to start this mill again probably in the second half of 2013. We already negotiated the equipment, and we are cleaning the site to start constructing again the mill. Also, we achieved the lowest yields ever for a U.S. bond. On the beginning of January, we issued $500 million at a yield of 4.9% with a 10-year bullet bond. And as you know also probably, we acquired the Panamilli Moncure with a total capacity of 600,000 cubic meters, 330 of MDF and 270,000 of particle board. The price was $56 million plus working capital, which ended up of about $62, $63 million in total. We have taken control of the mill, and the mill is operating quite well, and we have seen good results in optimizing the operation of that mill. Page 18, subsequent event, we went to the local market in April, at the end of April, and we issued a 5 million UF bond, which is around $232 million. We got also a historical yield for this type of bond, a 20-year bond. We got a 3.88 interest rate in UF, which is the lowest yield ever for a 20-year bond. And the use of proceeds for this bond was to refinance debt and to finance the CapEx firm for this year. Page 19, we also during April presented the environmental impact study for a brownfield project in the Arauco mill. We call it the MAPA project, which is a modernization and an increase of production in the site of Arauco. The project includes an upgrading of current facilities and expansion of the pulp mill. We are planning to build a 1.5 million tons eucalyptus pulp line in the site. That will replace line one of Arauco, which is an old line that produces around 300,000 tons a year of short fiber. We also expect to have a new cogeneration energy facility in this mill that will be able to supply 140 megawatts to the national grid and also produce good margins in terms of selling other electricity. So after that investment, which we plan to invest about $2 billion. We will have a capacity of around 1.8 million tons in that mill, the Arauco mill, with a much more efficient and production site. As you know, we just presented the environmental impact study Usually these things takes about 3 to 6 months to be decided by the authorities, and after that we will make a decision in the board if we go ahead with the project, and that will depend at that time of the price scenario and also about the analysis of the economical, technical analysis that we have to do at this moment. And page 21, just to give a brief update about the projects that we are developing at this time. Starting with Montes del Plata, we are showing in the presentation there some pictures of the advance of the project. Just a reminder, this is a greenfield pulp mill of eucalyptus in Uruguay, 1.3 million tons of capacity, expected to start up in the first half of 2013, and this is an investment of around $1.9 billion without counting the forest that we already had at that time. The project is going well, and you can see there that we are advancing in the equipment installation and in the port, and we expect to have it producing in the first half of 2013. We are at this moment probably in the peak of the construction phase. We probably more than 6,000 people working in at the site at this moment. Page 22, some pictures about our MDF mill in Yaguareiba. This is a 500,000 cubic meters capacity mill that is expected to start producing in September this year. This was an investment of around $150 million. And you can see some pictures there that the construction is going very well. Page 23, some pictures of our Teno MDP mill, which is almost ready. It will start this coming month in June. It's a 300,000 cubic meter MDP mill that had a capex of around $150 million. And you can see the pictures there of the mill and that is almost ready to start here in Chile. Page 24, the Viñales Energy Mill is also ready to start this coming month. It will add 41 megawatts of installed capacity, which 31 megawatts will be sold to the grid, adding to our actual capacity of selling to the national grid. The total capex of this project was $100 million, and you can see the pictures there. The boiler is already working, and we're in the process of connecting and doing the test to connect to the national grid. And we already talked about this, but we started the reconstruction of the Nueva Aldea plywood mill. The capacity of this mill will be 350,000 cubic meters of plywood as a first phase in the same site, and we expect it to have it producing probably the second half of 2013. We estimated that the total capex will be about $150 million to replace this mill that was destroyed. In the pictures, you can see the effect of the fire at the beginning of the year. That site is already cleaned up, and we are working on reconstructing the mill. Okay, that was it. I went a little bit quickly. I will open the room for questions now if you have any. Thanks.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions from investors and analysts. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone at this time. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Questions will be taken in the order that they are received. We do ask that when you pose your question, you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we pull for questions. Your first question comes from the line of Carlos de Alba of Morgan Stanley.
Yes, good morning. Thank you very much for taking my questions. I have three of them. The first one is if you could talk a little bit about the outlook for pulp prices, particularly in the Chinese market, which is basically the only one that has supported the sector year to date, but that there are some comments about potentially high inventories in the country that may affect the demand going forward. And also, you know, to that regard, where do you see the floor for the longshore fiber spread that, as you mentioned in your presentation, has been coming down in the last few months. That's my first question. The second one is if you can comment a little bit about what factors cause the Chinese demand for sawn timber to decline in Q1. That would be interesting. And if you think that that could be sort of a leading indicator of what may happen to pulp prices going forward in the country. And then my final question is regarding the project in Arauco Mill to replace the existing capacity with a larger fiber line, more efficient one, but also that will bring incremental supply of hardwood to the market. And based on what we see going forward in terms of the supply-demand balance, it doesn't seem to us that the world needs more supply of hardwood particularly. So if you can comment as to what are you seeing that makes you believe that bringing more supply to the market won't disrupt prices, I would appreciate your insights there. Thank you very much.
Okay, Carlos, thanks. Okay, starting from the outlook of prices in China, China is growing in terms of import, or was growing until April. As you can see, the statistics are about 25% year over year. The thing that I think is happening in China right now is that we are entering the summer, which is also weaker seasonally every year. And also we saw some effect of some pulp coming from Europe, especially Scandinavia, to China. As I talked, some of the paper mills have stopped a little bit production, and some of the pulp that was integrated came up to the market, and because of some low freight prices that were from Europe to China, we saw a lot of imports coming from Europe to China, and that produced a little bit of a bottleneck in the Chinese market. I think at the end of during April and probably the beginning of March. So that have caused that the Chinese demand have stopped a little bit, and that will make this summer season more difficult, I think. That already happened last year. We saw the difficult price environment during the summer. But I think that will be only temporary, and I think that after summer we can see the Chinese starting to buy strongly again, especially because inventories are not very high, and we are very healthy in terms of the number of days of inventory. So I think it's only temporary, and was due to the fact that more imports were coming from Europe to the Asian markets. And that scenario of low freight costs have disappeared, and I think that will help the Chinese to absorb the extra supply. And the problem was especially for softwood. And going to your second question, the spread that was $70 almost disappeared for April and March. We are seeing similar prices for softwood and hardwood at this moment for May. So that is zero now, which is very rare, and I think that should be a floor. I think if it is going to happen, a decrease in prices, probably it will be more likely to happen on short fiber, and it will create a gap again between softwood and hardwood. But it still has to be seen, because this is developing at this moment. The prices that are announced for April and May are similar, and they're also similar for to the April prices. So we haven't seen a price reduction formally at this time. We have to see what will happen during this summer. I mean, but it's going to be difficult, I think, as it was last year and almost every year during the summer season. And it will also depend about the maintenance process that happens every spring in the world, and if some of the producers decide to take some market downtime. Going to your other question about the decrease in sawn timber demand in China, I don't think it's very important. We saw some decrease, but now we are seeing that the demand is picking up again. So I think it was only temporary. I also heard about some an increase of imports coming from Russia of some timber. So probably our market has been a little bit weaker, but on an overall basis, I think the demand for wood in China should be growing. There was some worry about the decrease in the housing sector in the construction sector in China, but I think that overall China will continue to grow more or less at the same level, and that demand should continue to grow. And we have seen that the demand for some timber is increasing again in China, and prices are recovering at this time. So I don't see any worry about some timber. And for us, we are very flexible in assigning our products to other markets, so that shouldn't be a worry for some timber division. And now regarding our project in Orcones, the MAPA project, we have analyzed and the best choice for that increase of production is in short fibers because of the cost that mill will have, because it's very close to the forest. It's located in the place of Chile that has the best growing of trees, and also is very close to the port. So it's in a logistically it's a very good position to develop this mill, and also because we already the site, the production site is only a brownfield investment, which should be a little bit lower than a comparable mill, and should have a lot of synergies in terms of energy production that will make it probably the most competitive short fiber mill in the world. And so we think that we should have space for that mill once it becomes productive 2 years after the construction will start. But of course, we have to analyze the price environment, and we haven't taken the decision yet. We're only applying for the environmental impact study at this point and making all the studies, and will depend on the prices we can get from vendors of equipment and the price scenario we will see once we decide to invest or not. So it hasn't been approved yet. We think that we are very competitive, and we should displace some producers that are in the far end of the production curve, which are much higher cost than we do.
All right. And the incremental volume would be 1.2.
Yes, because we will shut down 300,000, and we will increase 1.2 of short fiber. We will do some improvements in the line two also, but it will be minimal, not very material.
All right, thank you. And just to circle back a little bit to the situation in China, you and a Russian competitor are the most active in the spot market in Asia and in China. So what sort of pricing trends are you seeing in the last few weeks in China? Are you seeing stable prices or the cut that we saw from the Russians in softwood, do you think that could translate also into the hardwood market?
We announced the same prices for May in terms of softwood, and in terms of hardwood, we increased $30 for May. And UKP stayed the same, but we will still have to know the volumes that are finally taken. I think that's going to be a reduction in volumes or some negotiation in price going on, because these are gross prices.
Right.
I don't have the information what's going on right now. I think it's there will be pressure probably for taking the volume and the Chinese will try to reduce the volume they're taking. So it's happening at this point. I don't have the information exactly what's going on, but in terms of what we announced the same prices for softwood and an increase in hardwood.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Daniel Sancel of J.P. Morgan.
Yes, hi, good morning. I have a couple of questions. The first question is regarding what's your expectation, or can you give us your EBITDA estimate for 2012? And also in terms of CapEx, you invested around $285 million in the first quarter. How much are you expecting to invest for the next 9 months? The second question is regarding leverage. Leverage went up by a lot. It's from 2.2 last quarter to 2.7 this quarter. Can you discuss a little bit what's your policy regarding net leverage and what's the maximum net leverage that you can reach, and if there's any of your bank loans or local facilities that has like a net leverage covenant? Thank you.
Okay, let me start with the leverage. We don't have a firm policy in terms of a number because this this industry is very cyclical, as you know. So our leverage tends to move around the number, I don't know, 2 or 2.5. We had a very good quarters last year where we were like 1.8, 1.9 because of the EBITDA was very good in terms, because of pricing. But our aim is to maintain our investment grade rating, and the rating agencies understand that this industry is cyclical and they tend to measure up all over the cycle. So we will have some movement because of when we have bad quarters in terms of EBITDA, which was probably this quarter was a weak one. So, but and 2.7 is still, I think, manageable. We will probably have some things during the rest of the year that will help us, especially we're going to be recovering claims of the insurance regarding the plywood mill. That will help us in terms of business interruption. We will have that will have an impact on EBITDA, and also in terms of physical damage that will help us increase our cash position. Will at the end decrease our net debt. So I think that we should have a better numbers probably during the year if prices maintains the levels that they are or recover a little bit at the end of the year once the summer season ended. In terms of covenants, we don't have any covenants regarding net debt to EBITDA. All the bond, the U.S. bonds are without financial covenants, and the local bonds have covenants regarding the debt to total capitalization, not regarding flow. And the only covenants that we have in regarding flow are in the credit agreements that are regarding interest rate coverage, which are very flexible. So we are far, far away from reaching those covenants, and so we are very, very comfortable with the numbers that we have. Regarding the CapEx, we think that this year should be a year of around $800 million in total. So if you deduct the 286, you will get the number for the rest of the year. The rest of the year will be basically this, all the years we have some capex of maintenance, which is around 400. I mean, about half of the total of the year is maintenance capex, which repeats every year. And then we have Montes del Plata this year, which is all over the year, about $240 million, which are the equity contributions that we are committed to the project. And then we have the rest of investments that we are doing in Yaguaraíra, the mill that will start up in September, the Teno mill, which is almost ready. We shouldn't have any more capex during the year, and also Viñales, that was already done. So, and Moncure acquisition was already accounted. So I think we should have less capex going the rest of the year. We already talked a little bit about the EBITDA. I'm not allowed to give you estimates of EBITDA, but we think that will depend especially on price development and also the impact of the claims of insurance that we'll be receiving during the year. So we, of course, we expect to have a better number than this quarter, but I cannot assure you which will be the deficit number for the whole year.
Okay, thanks. Just to follow up, how much do you expect to get from the insurance claims?
The claim of the Noeldea plywood mill is not done yet. I mean, we're in the process of liquidating the damages with the insurance company, but We think that the total should be around $170, $180 million. And from that, the effect on the income statement could be between $40 to $50 million, which is the business interruption part of that. We already received an advance payment about a month ago of $50 million, which 15 of that, 1-5, was a business interruption. That wasn't accounted for in the first quarter, will be shown in the second quarter. So that marks the numbers, but it's not a definite number because we are in the process of dealing with the insurance company, and also the business interruption number will be only accounted definitely after 1 year, which is at the end of this year.
Okay, I see. Because I'm kind of worried, second quarter, if you look where pulp prices are right now, they're lower than they were in the second quarter of 2011. So if we take that into consideration, also that you just issued this local bond, that part of it is only for refinancing while the other part is for CapEx, I think we should expect net leverage to continue going up, at least on the second quarter. And maybe for the second half of the year, if prices are at current levels, we should see an improvement versus the second half of last year. But second quarter net leverage should be much higher than the 2.7.
Well, I don't know yet. I mean, I think probably the EBITDA should be better because prices were better than the first quarter. The prices were increasing during the year until May. So I think we'll still have to see how June develops, but prices could be better. We have some one-time impacts in the first quarter because of the fire in the plywood mill, some interruption in the Noaldea. In the Noaldea pulp mill, we had like 1 week stoppage of the mill because of the fire. We had some problems with some turbo generators. So I think the first quarter was impacted by some one-time interruptions in operations because of the fires and that are not being repeated in the second quarter, and also will have the impact of the insurance plan. So I think it should be better, but we still have 1 month to go in this quarter.
I understand that part, but the net leverage that you calculated basically on the last month basis. So you're taking out, let's say, $364 million of EBITDA of the second quarter, so where pulp prices were higher than where they are right now.
Yeah, well, yes. I mean, if you do it in the last 12 months, yes, could be. I mean, because we're taking out a good quarter, which was the first one. But again, the last quarters of last year were bad quarters. So at the end of the year, we will probably be recovering in terms of leverage. But you have to take into account that this is a cyclical industry, and we have been in periods of worse leverage than that. I mean, 2008, 2009, we were close to 4 times because the EBITDA went to $700 million a year. And that happens in this industry because the EBITDA depends a lot on the price of pulp.
Yeah, no, I agree on that point. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Thiago Lofiego of Merrill Lynch.
Thanks, guys. I have basically two questions. Sorry if you already answered the first one. So very quickly on pulp prices, have you already announced your formal prices for June or not? And what do you think the outlook for June is? That's the first question.
No, we haven't announced price for June yet. And as I told you, I mean, I don't have the current information on what's going on. And I think that's still in negotiation and determining what prices will be for June, so I don't have that information yet.
And already in this question, still, I mean, do you see the spread between softwood and hardwood narrowing further, or do you think we're approaching a limit and where we're going to start seeing more demand for softwood because of the lower relative price?
Yeah, I think that it's very hard to see them in a negative scenario. I mean, they are zero at this point, and I think my impression is that they should start to increase again a little bit. I mean, and it should we should see more demand for software then, because when prices were of hardware were very low, there was a lot of effort trying to replace software for hardware. So there should be some room for moving back to use some software. So I think that spread should go up again a little bit. I mean, it shouldn't be zero, but that's my impression, and we still have to see what happens in the market during the summer.
Okay, thank you. And the last question is on the wood panel side. What's your view on Brazilian wood panels demand and prices in the short term? We've heard competitors are trying to increase prices, but at the same time, demand is taking a little longer to recover in Brazil. So what's your view on that?
We have seen increases in price. And in the last month, we have seen some increases in price, and I think that demand is there. Brazil has had some problems of growing in GDP in the last month, but the government is lowering interest rates, and I think that demand should continue. Brazil has always had very good increases in demand year over year in MDF. And I'm positive that this will continue, and also because of the depreciation of the real, probably some exports will happen from Brazil to the foreign markets, and that will ease some of the pressure of the new supply coming to the market. So I'm positive on Brazil, on at least on the pulp, on the panel demand.
Mm-hmm. And what's your capacity utilization rate in Brazil for wood panels?
Well, we always run at 100%. We don't cap production, so it's 100%.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Diego Miura of Goldman Sachs.
Hi, morning everyone. Thanks for the call. Well, most of my questions have been answered already, but I still have a couple of follow-ups on the Arauco brownfield project. First, I'd like to know if you have already a startup date in mind, and secondly, if you could give us some color on your forestry situation there. I mean, how much of surplus forestry you have to sustain this project. Thank you.
Your first question, can you repeat it?
Yeah, sure. If you have a startup date in mind already for the project, I mean, the year in which you plan to start operations there.
No, we don't have a date because we are depending on two things, the environmental impact study and also the decision by the board. So I don't think we can say a year. It could take, between, as I said, between 3 to 6 months to have a decision by the authority. And that, depending on if we have any conditions for the construction and on the price environment and how we see the other projects developing in the market, we will take a decision on the startup date. So I don't have any date at this point of time. And in terms of forestry surplus, we are also analyzing the surplus of forestry that we have for this project. This is a very important analysis to make before committing to the investment, and we have done some preliminary analysis, and we think that we can manage it because, as you know, eucalyptus grow faster than pine, so we need less land to supply that mill. We have some plantations in that region, of course, and we are analyzing the third-party market because some of the fiber will be bought from the market at the beginning, and we're analyzing prices in areas and things like that. We think that we have the fiber enough, but we are doing more detailed analysis on that sense before deciding on the project.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Selena Merrill of Credit Suisse.
Hi, thank you for taking the calls. Some follow-up questions from my end as well. In terms of the pulp market now, are you seeing an increase in planned maintenance taken offline or other supply taken offline in the recent months, or do you expect to see an increase of that in the second quarter, maybe by some of your competitors?
No, I haven't seen anything in particular. I mean, just the predictions that you have every year of normal maintenance are taken in during the spring. I haven't heard any of non-scheduled maintenance at this point. I think everyone is looking at what will happen with the prices. And at some point, I guess that if prices start to go down, probably the high-cost producers will decide to do some extended maintenance time or make some market downtime. But we haven't seen anything in particular at this point.
Okay. And then can you help me understand a little bit, sort of the general market pulp prices were higher in the first quarter versus the fourth quarter, but I see that your realized sales prices were up only slightly. Do you expect to see this benefit flow through in the second quarter?
Yes, some of it. As I said, it will depend on what happened in June. I mean, we at least in April and May, we had better prices than in the first quarter, but we still have 1 month to go. It will depend how it develops, and that will make a better quarter. As I told you, the first quarter we had better prices than the fourth quarter, but we had some one-time things going on that end up in worse results, that results that could have been better in terms of the stoppage in Nueva Aldea for almost, I think, it was 1 week. Some energy disruptions that for us is very important in terms of margin, especially during the summer in Chile, where prices are high for electricity, that should have been better. So if with a normal scenario in terms of without the fire in Nueva Aldea, and the turbo-generated disruption, we should have gotten a better quarter that we had. So I think the second quarter should be better, but we still have 1 month to for ending the quarter.
Okay, that's very helpful to understand. And my last question was regarding your insurance proceeds for Nueva Aldea. You mentioned that you have $150 million of CapEx to rebuild that facility. Do you expect insurance to cover that or most of that?
Well, yes. The thing is, as I told you, we're expecting to receive probably between 170, 180, depending on the evolution of prices of plywood for the rest of the year, because some of that is related to business interruption that depends on prices. But yes, I think we will cover, because also the construction of the plywood mill will take 2 years. So it's spread in 2 years, and the insurance claim will receive it in this year. So we'll be better in terms of cash because of the duration of the construction of the Nueva Aldea plywood mill.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Chelsea Konska of TIAA-CREF.
Hi. I was just had a question regarding pulp volumes, because it appears that your production volume was up quarter over quarter, yet your sales volume was down. So I was just wondering the reason for that. Is that seasonality or what should we see going forward?
Yeah, it's not. It's only an effect of ships moving from one quarter to the other. We have some big ships going to China, things like that, that sometimes moves from 1 month to the other, creating some change between the production and the sales volume. But it's nothing important that should be normally balanced through the year. So we should have a better sales volume this quarter because we had those the effect of those ships being accounted in the second quarter. Nothing important.
Okay, thanks. And also in the sawn timber segment, can you provide a breakdown by region of your sales?
Oh, yes. In big, just big numbers, we can tell you that we sell about 18%, 15 to 20% in Chile. Then we have in Latin America, if we add Argentina, where we have production, probably we have 25% more in the rest of Latin America. And then we have North America, which is about 20%. Europe is nothing, it's 1%. And then we have Middle East and Africa, where we sell some timber, about other 10%. And the rest is sold in Asia and Australia and New Zealand. So it's very well balanced. I think probably most of it is in Latin America, and the rest is Asia, North America, and Middle East and Africa. So very well spread.
Great. Thank you.
Your next question comes from Sonanda Belcher of RISI.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. I'm not sure if you have already answered that, but I'd like to know if you could provide me the volume of pulp sold in the first quarter of 2012, and also know if this volume were higher or lower on the annual basis.
Okay, let's see. The pulp volume on this quarter, okay, it was about 710,000 tons, which is lower than last quarter, which was a high quarter. We sold about 780,000 tons on fourth quarter. But that quarter was also higher compared to the normal sales volume, which is about 700,000. If you take an average, probably the fourth quarter was above average, and this quarter is more close to an average quarter in terms of sales.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Your next question is a follow-up from Carlos de Alba of Morgan Stanley.
Yes, thank you very much. I would like to know what are you hearing from your customers, your pulp clients, those that use the pulp to produce paper. Given the price increases that we have seen basically since late last year in fiber costs, what are they telling you? Are they able to pass through this higher raw material cost, or are they pushing quite hard to put a stop to this higher pulp price trend? And my second question is, given how important energy, the sale of excess energy for a pulp mill is, I wonder if you can talk about the returns of a pulp project with and without excess energy. I mean, does a pulp project that doesn't have excess energy meet cost of capital? Or you have to have excess energy to be profitable or to generate a good return on investment. Thank you.
Okay. What are we hearing from clients? I think that we haven't heard anything particular now. I think they're always complaining about the high cost of fiber. I mean, that's their job to complain about the cost of fiber. But they always have problems to increase prices of paper. We all know that the paper industry has been going down for many years, especially in the developed world. So for them, it's hard to press for higher prices. So when prices of pulp goes up, they suffer, and then when prices of pulp goes down a little bit, they tend to have some relief. So I think that we're hearing the same as always, as they try to pass the higher cost of fiber to our clients, but they find it difficult to do it because the paper industry is oversupply and demand is not growing. It's only growing in countries like China, but in China, again, there has been a lot of construction of new paper machines. So they are always dealing with a little bit of oversupply of paper, which is, for us, sometimes beneficial in terms of that once the paper machine is built, they have to supply it. So in China, demand for pulp has been going up, but the paper producers have always been suffering with low spreads. So that thing hasn't changed a little bit so much. In terms of the component of sales energy, I don't have an exact impact in terms of how more profitable it makes the project, but to give you a sense, in Chile, energy prices have gone up a lot. I mean, we have a scarcity of new projects in energy. Demand for energy is going above GDP, and there's a lot of problems for constructing new big projects, hydro projects in Chile. So we have seen prices, spot prices of $270 per megawatt hour, which is a lot. And since we have a very low marginal cost of production, almost zero, because we are using the waste of our production, it's a very good business for us. And the marginal investment that we need for making available the energy is very low. And even more than that, we are building standalone boilers like the Viñales mill, which costs us $100 million, and it's very profitable because the fiber cost is low. We have the supply of fiber, which not a lot of companies that has it. And energy prices continue to be high, and we expect to continue being at high levels for the coming years. So it's a very big, it's a quite big component of the profitability of our mills and our business.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This concludes the question and answer section. At this time, I would like to turn the floor back to Mr. Gianfranco Truffello for any closing remarks.
Okay, thank you all for attending. This was very interesting for me, for the questions, and I hope for you also. And as usual, we will meet each other for the second quarter results that will be, I think, 1 or 1.5 months after the end of the quarter, so probably during August. Okay, thank you all, and see you in the next call. Bye.
Thank you. This concludes today's presentation. You may disconnect your line at this time, and have a nice day.